want to read a few verses to begin with out of Matthew. The 18th chapter. I'm going to read the first six verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were dropped and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And we know of how humble and meek a little child is, and how blessed they are. And so it's very important that we come as one of these little children. And I've written a few things here to be, of course, being patient is one, and being humble and meek and honest. And all of these things, if we do these things, we're going to have good character, which is very important. If we, of course, being patient, we've got to endure trials, and meek and lowly, we've got to be, we'll be long-suffering, mild in temper. And we know that we're not to be lifted up under pride, for this is basically the downfall of all the people that have fallen is because of pride. And so we've got to be a humble people. And I want to read a verse or two out of a few verses here out of Mosiah on page 217 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to begin with 116. And here they tell us a lot of things we should do. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way or nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgment is just. And the infant perisheth not, and dieth not in his infancy. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. And now this is a very, we read or discussed something like this today in our Sunday school class. But it says, For the natural man is an enemy of God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. The natural man is an enemy to God. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man, now that takes a little effort, doesn't it? You've got to put off this natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. So it shows that we have got to seek out the Lord and the ways that He'd have us to go. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught the people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which He hath spoken unto thee. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord hath commanded me. And thus saith the Lord, they shall stand as a bright testimony against this people at the judgment day. Wherefore, they shall be judged, every man according to his works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be evil, they are consigned to an awful view of their own guilt and abominations, which thus caused them to shrink from the presence of the Lord into a state of misery and endless torment from whence they can no more return. Therefore, they have drunk damnation to their own souls. Telling us we've got to keep these commandments and do these things. Become as a little child and become meek and lowly and humble. And I want to read a verse here from Alma. It's over on page 405. And these were people that had been converted unto the Lord. They were the people of Ammon. But in verse 31 it says, and they were also distinguished by their zeal towards God. That would be putting quite a bit of effort. They were distinguished because of this. And towards men. For they were perfectly honest, upright in all things. And they were firm in the faith of Christ, even unto the end. Now here, these people were honest. Now we have a little different laws and regulations that we have to live by today. In some of our laws today, we have to do things possibly not any different either. It might have been about the same. But they were honest. And I know one time Don McIndoe was preaching a sermon, and he mentioned a little bit about honesty. And one thing he said is, do we cheat a little on our income tax? Is that all right? A lot of people do. But is it honest, and is it true, or are we lying somewhat? And if we have got good character, likely we're not going to do these things. And I think that John mentioned one time a similar thing to this anyway, that character, that's what we are when nobody else is looking. You know, you see a lot of people, when they're among a bunch of Christian people, they're upright and honest, they go on to the other side of a group of people and they're something else, and when they're by themselves, they're still something else. But our faith and our character and our belief is that we've got to do these things all the time. And I think of a contractor I knew, and I had done some business with him. Not in his contracting business, but in something else one time. And he told me that when you're doing business, that and religion are completely separate. They're not the same. You've got to deal different in your business than you do in religion. And he done that. In fact, he's passed away, and he gave most of his worldly goods to a church here in town. In fact, his wife now is almost in poverty. But I guess he thought maybe at the end, if he could give all these things to the church, that possibly that would offset what he'd done in business. I don't know. But this is what he'd done. And he was a pretty good businessman. I mean, he made quite a little bit of money. And he believed these things, but he believed in going to church on Sunday and preaching and going to church. I think they probably went to church two nights a week besides Sunday. So they went to work to church on three separate days, and they put quite a bit of effort into it. But when he was in business, it was another thing, when he was dealing with land or property. And I often think of Aunt Vida, and I think most of the people here knew Aunt Vida. And she was very honest and very upright. And I remember several times she would be working on her income tax, and it would just nearly drive her wild because she didn't want to take 10 cents more deduction than what she should have. A lot of people think, well, that's kind of foolish. But is it foolishness or honesty? And I don't know. But as you know, Aunt Vida had a trust fund set up for many years ago, and there was a little money came out of that trust fund. So she had to go down to the welfare office and fill out a form once or twice a year because she'd get a little of this money, and consequently they would take some of her pension away for 2 months or something like this while she used up this little bit of money. And she was so honest. She'd go down there and fill out the papers, and then she'd dig in her purse and say, oh, I've got 10 more dollars here. So she'd lay it out there so that, and I've known her to come home and then discover that she had $6 someplace, or that's just a figure, but some little bit of money, and she'd call them back down there and she'd say, oh, I have $6 more. Now, can you imagine at about 4:45 that she calls back down there and tells these girls that she's got $6 more. They've got the letter mailed ready to mail to Denver. They have to open it up and redo all the papers, and she probably has to go down and re-sign it for $6. I'm sure that they wished many times that she didn't pay any attention to it. But she would, and she might call them up the next day and say that she found $4 more because she wanted to be 100% honest. Now, I don't know that that is too bad a policy. And I'd seen a book where she kept record of her tithing. And their tithing was done a little different than ours. But anyway, she would keep a record, and she would write it down, and I could see where she had erased many times. And I'm sure each time she done it, she probably included a little more tithing because she thought she maybe shouldn't have included this deduction. But that is being, as she was as honest as she possibly could be. But I've known of people too that was quite upright that would inherit some money, and they were on like her on the old age pension. It was in another state, but the people inherited a little bit of money. Well, they didn't want to let the state find out about that, so they put it in another state in a child's name or an uncle or a cousin or something like this, so it wouldn't be noticed. And nobody was caught, and nothing was done. But I doubt hardly that that would be what would be considered honest. But people can do things like this. And sometimes these things will catch up with people. I knew of a doctor in town here, an optometrist, and I suppose he's been dead many years. But this was back in the days when doctors didn't pay Social Security, so he had no Social Security coming. But this was about the time that Colorado, about 47 or 8, when Colorado paid the highest old age pension of any state in the Union. And this doctor decided what he should do was put everything in his daughter's name, which he did. And he made it legal some way, and then he was eligible for old age pension. And he wasn't just particularly a poor man. I doubt if he had, was really wealthy. I do know that he wasn't too honorable because I made many lenses for him, and he would require that they would be made 1/6 of the thickness that is legal today so that they'd break very easy so he could sell more lenses. But he decided to put everything in his daughter's name, and she would have that money, and he could have it when he needed it, and he could get on the old age pension. But things kind of backfired. He got it all set up, and his daughter and her husband took off the money and left town and disappeared. So he got to live on that old age pension crop that he wanted so bad. But that was we find people, this is what it is, what they do when people don't notice. And this is what being honorable and honest. Now, that wouldn't be submissive like a little child, but he done these things. And we find people all around that can do things like this, justifying them in their own mind. But are they right? And that's an important thing for us to find out. I want to read a little bit in Leviticus. Leviticus kind of hides from me once in a while here, but I usually can find it. In the 19th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, telling us here are a few things we should do. Ye shall not steal. I think all of us know that. Neither deal falsely. Now, this old businessman I knew, he was willing to deal them falsely in business, but not in the church. Neither lie one to another. Now, that's what Aunt Vida was afraid she would do if she didn't include that $6, that she'd be lying to those people down there, so she would look it up and call them back. Ye shall not swear falsely by my name falsely. Neither shall thou profane the name of God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. Now we know that. But there's people that will do these things. These are things we shouldn't do. Neither rob him. Now these aren't going to enter into us, but some people it does. And the wages of him, let's see, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. We take care of things and do that which is right and honest before all men. And that's very important. And that's what a Christian person is going to do. Just going to church and sitting in the front row and singing and paying the preacher isn't going to do it. These little other things has got to enter in. I want to read over here in Alma in the 10th chapter. Beginning with the 27th verse. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. Now, isn't that important, that we not be tempted above that which we can bear? And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, long-suffering, having faith toward God, having faith on God, on the Lord. All those things, if these things are amongst us, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, and full of love. Now, if a person's full of love, you're not going to do much damage to somebody else, are you? You're not going to try to hurt them. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at that last day and enter into his rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. That's what we are trying to avoid, that last part, that we might not suffer that second death, but that we can be lifted up in that last day. In our Sunday school class, we mentioned today, we really don't know what heaven's like. We kind of got an idea what heaven is like, but we know it's going to be good, and that's enough for me. And if the Lord has promised it, I'm sure it's going to be so. And it's worth working for. When we stop to think of a little time here on earth, maybe as much, some people live even 102. I've seen a picture of a little lady in the paper that's still living by herself, and I believe she's 102. She's seen a lot of things. But my, that isn't a drop in the bucket to 10 million years, which we can't understand anyway. We can't understand 10 million years, and we can't understand eternity. But we can believe that the Lord has prepared a place for us. And all we've got to do is simply to keep those commandments. I want to read a few verses out of the 16th chapter of Alma. Beginning with 130. And as we remember, he's speaking to the Zoramite people here, and part of the people was lifted up high in pride, and others were pushed down. And this people that we're just going to read about this morning is those that was cast out because of their poverty, and they weren't allowed to associate with the other people, so to speak. Beginning with verse 130. Behold, I say unto you, do you suppose that ye can worship God, save it be in your synagogues only? We know that you can have church in a home. We remember having it in a garage for many years. And I know Marvin's preached sermons in people's homes probably when he's in the field. Very seldom does he preach in a church. Most of the time it's going to be in somebody's home. So we can worship God in many different places. And moreover, I would ask, do you suppose that you must not worship God only once in a week? Now we know that we've got to do it more than that. And we've got to have our minds upon the good things of the Lord and seek after those things continually. I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that ye may be humble, and that ye may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that ye should learn wisdom. And sure wish we had a lot more wisdom. I wish I had a lot more, and a lot more discernment. But I guess the way to do that is to work on it, and seek the Lord, and seek His help in these things. For it is because that ye are cast out, that ye are despised of your brethren, because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to the lowliness, that ye are brought to a lowliness of heart, that ye are necessarily brought to be humble. Now it is better if that's what it takes, whatever it is, to cause us to be humble. We know that time in the scripture that someone prayed that there would be no water, no rain. It caused the people eventually to become humble and seek after the Lord. Now, that's really better that they're able to do that and come under the Lord than to have prosperity and die spiritually. And now, because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. For a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. And surely, whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, as I have said unto you, that because you were compelled to be humble, you were blessed. Now here is an important thing, I think, and very important for us to remember, and I'm sure each one of us do. But because they were blessed because they were made to be humble. Do you not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word. Yea, he that truly humble himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed, yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble, because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Showing that we should work on this all the time to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the Lord, in the word of God, and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word, or even compelled to know before they will believe. Yea, there are many who do say, if thou wilt show us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of surety, then we shall believe. Now I ask, is this faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For if a man knoweth a thing, he hath no cause to believe, for he knoweth it. And now how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not, than he that only believeth, only hath cause to believe, and falleth into transgression. Now, of this thing ye must judge. How important it is, and how joyful it is, that we can have these scriptures and to enjoy the benefits of them and the promises in them, that we have this privilege. And how unfortunate it is, so many people of the world are not able to do this. I want to read a few more verses out of Matthew in the 18th chapter. This is a story that I know of all of us have read many times. The 18th chapter and the 23rd verse. And this shows, I think, a little bit of the nature of many people. Showing that the natural man is an enemy to God. That we must strive daily to improve our lives and to overcome the temptations of Satan. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when they had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then when the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, he loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out from and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now we're going to find out what happened. Now we know what should have happened, but we're going to find out the nature of man a lot of the times. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall the heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Sometimes it's a little hard to forgive, but here is a parable of what we should do. And it's commanded throughout the scripture, the things that we should do and how we should deal one with another. I want to read in 2 Peter a few verses. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in the 2nd leave with the second verse here. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Now that seems strange. If we had all faith, it don't look like we need to do these things, but we do. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That last one is the most important of all. If we have that, most of these foregoing things will be with it. But we've got to have charity. But you've got to have all these other things with it, or you're not going to have charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, for he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail, never fall. Some things we're supposed to do all the time. Back in Romans, in the 12th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Now, some people take a little delight in things that are just a little bit evil. But we can't do that. Abhor that which is evil. That means we've got to be honest in all of our dealings. We've got to be upright. And all of these things. We can't live a riotous life. For we're to abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Now this old friend of mine, he didn't apparently read this here verse. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Now that's a little hard. Patient in tribulation. But I guess we've got to be a patient person all the time. Continuing instant in prayer. And that's very important. Continuing instant in prayer. Be ready to pray immediately. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Think of the good things here that we're supposed to do and how much better it is if we do these things and have these things to be amongst us than if we're living a riotous life. I want to read a few verses out of Moroni here on page 467. I don't believe that can be 467. I think that 767 would look a lot better. Beginning on the 49th verse in the 7th chapter of Moroni. And again, behold, I say unto you that ye can not have faith and hope save that ye should be meek and lowly in heart. If so, your faith and hope is vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly in heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesseth by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And I think of all of those important things that they're telling us here, and how nice it is when people live a life like it is told here. I want to read this one verse out of 4th Nephi. And it's a third verse, and it's actually the first chapter because there's only one chapter. And it came to pass that the 36th year, that in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations amongst them, and every man dealt justly, did deal justly one with another. Now, if everyone dealt justly one with another and were humble and patient and meek, we wouldn't have many problems in the world. But so many people cut out a few of these little things and do not do them. Consequently, we have all the problems that are in the world today. But if people sought out these things of being humble and honest and of good character, it would be a much more joyful place to live. But we have this promise that if we do these things that is commanded of us, that we can have eternal life and that we can live with the Lord forever. And that's a promise to us, and it's something for us all to work toward, which we all do. And it's too bad that we just can't spread this further and wider, that more people could partake of these things.
Supposed to be preaching tonight at 7 p.m. and I don't know who the preacher is. Brother Martin Carroll. We'll close with 410. Shall we arise?
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, as we come to